listening to Courtside, the official England netball podcast. Welcome along, and what a journey it's been so far, hasn't it? And there's so much more to come. Hope you had an absolute blast following Team England at the Commonwealth Games, supporting our 12 through the group stages, seeing the characters, the styles and the big names competing in Birmingham. What an occasion it was for world netball, and history in the making as Jamaica took home a silver medal for the very first time. They also broke the record for the most number of goals scored in a single game, didn't they? It was over 100. And Australia, well, they were the ultimate victors, taking gold for a record fourth time. Thanks so much for joining me for what I'm calling the Legacy Pod, where we talk everything England netball after the Commonwealth Games. So let's get into it. Lindsay with you once again, and this post-games pod is a really, really busy one. I catch up with head coach Jess Thirlby to get her take on Birmingham 2022 and what's next for the Roses. I drop in on CEO of England Netball, Fran Connolly, and speak to an England Netball Hall of Famer about that moment. All the feels as she stepped out on court for the final time. But you can probably tell from the sound that I'm doing something a little bit different this episode, because I've come down to an England netball walking netball session that's run in partnership with Everybody Health and Leisure in Sandbach in Cheshire, just to bathe in the netball vibes, you know, feel a bit more of that buzz after a huge, huge summer of sport. I also want to find out what impact the Commonwealth Games has had on some of these players. It's walking netball. There are three teams, a game underway at the moment, and we're rotating in and out. Now, the toughie with this is that you've got to keep those feet on the floor, and I can see everyone's doing their best. Goal shooter at the moment looking for options. Not a lot on. Little bounce pass, an opportunity to shoot. And I'm going to grab a couple of these players to see what they thought of the Commonwealth Games. Gwen, it's lovely to speak to you. I've pulled you out of the walking netball session because I believe this is your first session, is that right?
That's right, it is.
And what made you want to come to this session today?
Well, I used to play netball before, but I really enjoyed it and I wanted to come back to it, really.
And you saw a bit of the netball at the Commonwealth Games. I think you watched some of the England matches on TV, is that right?
I did, yes, yeah. So that was great to watch as well. I mean, they're at a different level, aren't they, kind of thing. But yeah, it was remembering that that I love the team game and the camaraderie of it, really.
Paula's just stepped off court and she's with me now. Paula, how was the game?
It was really good, thank you. Very interesting to meet different people from different teams. We have met a few of them before when we played in tournaments, which has been good. But I joined in 2017 after my husband passed away in 2015. The camaraderie is absolutely brilliant with everybody. We have a WhatsApp group now. We do lots of things together. And for someone like me who lives on her own, it's really, really good. And I encourage anyone who would like to come along to come and join us because it's great fun.
Chris is alongside me now. Chris, I was watching you there in the game. You've just wiped a bit of sweat away from your forehead. Looks like you're putting a lot in.
I'm melting. Yes, I'm melting. I do put a lot in. I try.
What do you really love about these sessions?
I think the thing I love most is that it's usually about an hour or an hour and a half where we think of nothing else but netball. We're all sort of long in the tooth now. Some have played at county level, some have never played before. And we all get together, throw a ball about and have some great fun. And it just, you can think of nothing else.
Did you have a chance to watch any of the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, just about all of it. Yeah, just about all of it.
Go on then, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, they just amaze me. They amaze me and they've come on so well and I'm so proud of them. You know, it's just brilliant. It was brilliant. The whole thing was brilliant.
And if you could encourage other women to come and do this, what would you say?
Okay, so when you get older, sometimes you've just retired or left work, you've either got grandma duties or you're looking after elderly parents, find an hour for yourself. Come and play walking netball. You don't have to run, you don't have to jump, you just come along, walk as fast as you like, throw a ball about. It's great fun and we make great friends from all over the county, really. So yeah, come and join us, it's great.
Well, look, I'm gonna let you walk it off because you were putting it all out on court there, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
A I've stepped out to let the session get underway. I'm actually sitting in my car now, cooling down because, let's face it, it's been really warm. Those ladies are doing so well on the court. But let's have a think about Team England. We've absolutely loved following their journey. If you missed the Inside the Game special, by the way, then do go on and have a listen back because we really get behind the scenes with how it all works in Birmingham. And there were highs, weren't there? Huge highs. Jeeva Mentor played her sixth Commonwealth Games. Jade Clark hit 192 caps. There was that moment from Imogen Allison where she kept the ball in, don't know how she did it, and passed it to Ellie Cardwell. And Ellie Cardwell's split. I mean, what a game she's had. Then came the low, didn't it, of finishing fourth and missing out on the bronze medal in the final game to New Zealand. New Zealand looked so strong. They won 55-48. And whilst it was an edge-of-your-seat nail-biter, England just couldn't stop the Silver Ferns, who closed the game out in style. But Jess Thirlby, head coach, was always super, super clear about the challenge ahead. Fourth is perhaps the hardest place to finish. That's really tough for a squad. It's really tough for a head coach. And I caught up with her after the games to get her take on things.
I could not be prouder of not just the players, but the staff. I think as a collective, we've got enough humility in the group to know that we can be better, but we've also given our all. This time it's not ours, sadly, but that should never really... For me, it should never fog over the beauty of the people that you work with and the intent behind them. So, yeah, I've got a lot of love for the team and the staff.
There's been a lot of interest in netball. There's been a lot of conversation around the sport as well. And some of the questions coming out of the games are, could we have done better? And how do you feel about finishing in that fourth place?
Yeah, look, I think when you lose, you always hope you could have done better. But I think also to suggest that we could have done better is almost suggesting that there was something missing in our preparation or that the players or we weren't giving our best on the day. And I don't believe that to be true. So I think, you know, the last 12 months have shown us and provided us with some evidence that on any given day, we could beat Jamaica, we could beat New Zealand, we could compete with Australia. And that's what is important to hold true. I think the margins now between second, third, fourth are so slim that you'll get punished. And so do I think there were moments in games where we weren't at our best? Absolutely. Because I think there were moments of a little bit of vulnerability and we weren't quite as clinical as we needed to be. As I say, when we won ball, which was hard to find against the better teams, and it always will be. So we're realistic about that. So I think I would be reluctant to kind of move straight into that space of we could have been better, because what if some of what we did was our best on the day? And yes, there are areas that, you know, I can already see that we will want to look back on and better ourselves performance wise and how might we go about that. And part of that is some bigger picture stuff around more exposure, big stages, bigger cauldrons, and we will do that, and we will uncover and excavate everything we need to be better. But I would be reluctant to not, I guess, be too tempted to think about wholesale changes or that we were way off the mark. I think on any given day, any of those top four can beat each other. We had evidence against two of those top four in the last 12 months, and we knew that we had competed well with Australia in quad. That's what we entered the tournament with. Best position we could have put ourselves in, best position of any team going into Commonwealth Games. And we have to just live with the brutality of those small margins on this occasion.
And you always talk about the journey. So let's finish with the journey and the future. The Ugandan series is coming up. Then we're going to go over to Australia and we're going to play them again. What are your hopes for the next 12 months heading towards World Cup?
Yeah, look, I think it's really important. Well, firstly, the fact that we have the Uganda series that coincides also with a group that will go overseas to play Australia in itself tells you everything about how driven we are to expose more athletes to international netball. So both of those series are going to be hugely competitive. We're going to be able to expose up to 30 players to international netball early in the year as well, which is also important because we then have time between that to capture the learnings from that and then become even more performance focused as we head towards January. So stick with us is kind of my call to arms of our fans, because part of winning is learning how to win. And you also have to do that with a broad group. And one thing I am really proud of is the number of players we've exposed over the last few years. And we got to that starting line, absorbing some losses and still with a team that believe that they can compete with the best. And I don't think that would have been the case 3 years ago. So I'm really proud of that. And I'll continue to make sure I provide opportunity where it is earned. And where I believe the team need it to be in order to give ourselves the best chance next year.
And you promised to take us with you because we're the fans. We want to be there up with you.
Yeah, of course, of course. And just thank you to everybody for your support as well. It doesn't go unnoticed and it means a lot.
Well, there you go. The thoughts of head coach Jess Thirlby. And if you do want to hear more, head over to the England Netball website. Have a look on socials as well. Just really, really fascinating to catch up with Jess after the game. She's still thinking about it all and she's looking to the future with this squad. And I think in terms of home Commonwealth games and what England Netball want to get out of that, what we as netball players or fans listening to the pod now want is to see a growth in the sport. And I went to catch up with CEO of England Netball, Fran Connolly, to talk about just that. Have a listen.
Elite sport is tough. We know now that the games are won on the world stage by the smallest of margins. And if you make any mistake, they're punished. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks up in Birmingham. But we will be back stronger. We've already started the review of the Commonwealth Games. The team are keen to take on board any of the learnings that they can. They're a hugely, hugely committed bunch. They did everything possible to prepare themselves for the Games. They took every opportunity during a really difficult 2 years to carve out opportunities to take to court against the world's best. They made history, and I believe they'll come back fighting. So we take to court again in just really a matter of weeks' time, at the beginning of October, against Uganda. And I know that they'll already be talking about what that has in store, how we can expose new talent to the court for the first time, how we can learn the lessons from Birmingham, and how we can carry that forward into what will be a really busy international window as we go on from there. We go into Australia to the tour that we've recently announced, and a packed international window that will follow that as well. So really exciting times ahead.
So Birmingham's done, but next up for the Roses is a matchup against the Ugandan She Cranes. A Vitality Roses side will play them on home soil on the 5th, 8th and 9th of October. Head over to the England Netball website to get your tickets. I have spoken to Jess. She says it could be quite a different player group, actually, that we see for Uganda. Obviously, we've had those retirements as well. You've had chance to catch up with her and you're forging forward together. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got an opportunity now. We have selected our biggest Roses playing group, our biggest futures group that we've ever selected. So we've got a real opportunity to expose new talent, to have them playing side by side with people that have got an enormous amount of caps. And we'll use that. We'll use this next window really to bring that together. And we are on the road now and the countdown already, believe it or not, to Cape Town at the World Cup in 2023. So we'll use every competition as a stepping stone towards that major championships.
Well, let's look forward together because, as you said, it's exciting. We've just had one of the highlights of the netball calendar and we've got another coming up in the World Cup in South Africa in 2023. Why are these big highlight moments so important in terms of world netball when we're thinking about a sport that is fully female led? Why are these standout moments so important?
So I guess the visibility cast by any major multi-sports championships or world championships has the ability to transform a sport. And we've seen that firsthand from our learning from 2018. The visibility that was afforded to us in 2018 was something we'd never experienced before. Travel that through to 2019 and that legacy was continued. And as I said, it has the ability to really transform the sport. And from our perspective, it's done just that. So from a performance perspective, from a participation perspective, from a commercial perspective, from an engagement and volunteering perspective as well. We've seen enormous uplifts in all of those areas immediately following a major championships. And it doesn't just isolate to domestic territories. We see that reach new global territories. And for us as a game that's trying to expand across the world, that's something that's really important to us. The more we can reach into new territories, the more eyeballs we can get on the sport, the faster the whole sport grows. And that can only be positive.
And I think the final word has to go, as you say, to the players in the communities, the volunteers that work with England Netball, the umpires as well, because your role is so wide ranging. I know that you reach into all those different areas, and seeing those people at the Commonwealth Games was just brilliant as well.
I absolutely can't thank them enough. 150,000 tickets were sold for the Commonwealth Games, far more even than the World Cup just a few years ago. So the Netball family is growing. The support behind the team, Jess, Natalie and the team is growing. And that's translating all the way down to grassroots communities. So after the Netball World Cup, we saw 160,000 people take to court or start playing more netball. And we can only do that with the help of our huge volunteer base across the country, supporting us in clubs and in leagues and catering for these new audiences that are inspired by what happens on the international court. So I think we owe a huge debt to them. We hope they'll stay on the road with us to Cape Town next year. And we hope we'll continue to grow that netball family. I think netball and women's sport is in a tremendous place right now. And we've managed to win the hearts of the nation, and long may it continue.
So good to hear from Fran. She's been with England Netball for coming up to 2 decades now. So she's seen absolute change and development with the sport, and it's brilliant to get her perspective on where things are and what happens next. I've heard from the head coach, I've heard from the CEO, but I really want to know what the Commonwealth Games felt like for the players. So after a massive 10 days of sport, I invited an absolute legend of the game to join me courtside. Here we go. With an elite netball career spanning over 17 years, she made her senior international debut for the Roses against Malawi in 2008. Since then, she's notched up 117 caps for England, secured 3 bronze medals at the Netball World Cup and another at the Commonwealth Games, and she was part of that historic gold medal winning team at the 2018 Games in Australia. She's won 4 domestic Super League titles with Team Bath and captained them for 6 seasons. Not only that, but she's played overseas, most recently for Queensland Firebirds. A new mum in 2020, she's been inducted into the England Netball Hall of Fame for her contribution both on and off the court. And no doubt at all, her biggest career highlight to date, she's with me now on courtside. It's Ebony Azuro-Brown. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. It's so lovely to see you. And I'm sure it's been a really emotional few days for you. We will come to that. But just take a moment and let that incredible list of achievements sink in. Wow.
And it's to be fair, when you read it off like that, you kind of think, I really have been around for a while. But it just probably shows how much I've loved being part of the netball community, and I've loved the sport, and the fact I've been able to live my dreams going to representing the Roses at a number of different competitions, and the friendships I made. I think it's really humbling.
And it's difficult for me because I sort of think, where do I start on a career like your one? And I thought, right, let's go back to the very beginning. Can you remember when you first stepped onto a netball court? The very first time, or one of the very first times?
I don't ever think I remember the very first time, but I do remember my teacher, Mrs. Oates, when I was at the Cavendish when I was in year 5, and she introduced me to netball and we started playing, and I think I remember just absolutely loving it. And I remember going home to my mum and being so excited. We played netball, and Mrs. Oates at that point in time was very influential in terms of helping me guide and help me learn the game even at that infant stage. So I think that's probably my earliest memory. Just being really happy, primary school, playing netball. And I think I was centre at that point in time. So I was running up and down the court, but just having a lot of fun.
I was going to ask you about that, whether you've always been a defender at heart or whether you've played in quite a few places.
I've played in quite a few places. I think, like I said, started at the centre. I remember when I got to England in the under 17s, I played a goal shooter for a while. I think we went to the European Championships, and I think I scored 7 out of 7 the first quarter, then 2 out of 9. And then they thought, maybe we could use her as a defender. So,
we'll move her.
Yeah, yeah. There was still a place for me, but clearly just not in the shooting. So.
Yeah, yeah. And you've said before, haven't you, that as a young girl, you dreamt of playing for England. And you've now done that 117 times. Does that feel real to you?
Who would have thought? Not really. Not really. I still remember going to Wembley and just watching England
play Australia. They got beat by 30, I think. But it was even just the fact that when they were singing the national anthem and the atmosphere at that point in time, I was literally absolutely hooked. So to sit here today and be as fortunate as I have been to have 117 appearances and get 117 opportunities is mind-blowing. But I think in one sense, I'm just so grateful that not many people get to achieve their dreams. So the fact that I was able to do it for that length of time in the fashion that I have, I think it's credit more so to my support network for getting me through. But yeah, it's an accomplishment that I am really proud of.
Oh, it's absolutely unbelievable. It really is. And we will talk about your support network because, again, you've said through your career that's something so important to the way that you play and allowing you to play at all, really. But I just wondered, as you look back, is there a match or a moment that particularly stands out in your career where you sort of think, oh, maybe something changed for me there, or I had a moment where I thought, yes, you know, netball is going to be my life?
I think the thing that stands out to me most, I think it really was probably in 2013 when England played Australia at home, and it was the first time we had a series whitewash on home soil against them. And I think that was one of the turning points for England netball in general, in terms of building that sense of belief that we weren't just there to participate in these major tournaments. We were actually there to really compete, and we could compete amongst the best. So I think that for me, I think started the kind of momentum for the succeeding years. But I just remember also just playing with Stacey, ironically, and my defensive partner in crime, not only from under 21s, but in that series, and just having a lot of fun. And it really, that point in time is where I wanted to really think about netball as a career and actually where we could go. So that really kind of sticks in my mind in terms of a changing point.
And you and Stacey have really gone hand in hand, haven't you, over the last however many years? And again, we'll come back to this because we are going to talk about the Commonwealth Games, but you've now both retired at the same time as well. That's why I say it must just have been an emotional rollercoaster for you in the last few days.
It really has. And because I only told the girls on the morning of the bronze medal match. So obviously Stacey announced her retirement a couple of weeks ago. So I remember I told the girls, and Stacey literally just burst out into tears because of, I guess, of our history together. But in the same breath, it was just nice to be able to go together because we really did start together. So it's almost like coming full circle. But she's a phenomenal girl. And I wouldn't have, in one sense, wanted to do it with anybody else.
Well, I tell you what, you got all of us on that morning because the news came out of this press release and everyone was like scrolling through their phones going, what is this? What's going on? And it was a really, really special match. And you've talked about your teacher and your support network. Let's talk a little bit about that, because are there other figureheads in your life that have allowed you to have the career that you've had and really spurred you on?
I think there's been a number, and I'm lucky. I think obviously I'm a dual career athlete. So in terms of trying to keep all the plates spinning at one time and the emotional and mental rollercoaster that goes with it, this, my support network has been absolutely key. And in terms of figureheads, obviously my mum, I think she's been my rock from day one through thick and thin. She was the one when I was a young girl taxing me up and down to training sessions, to England camps, courtside in the snow, in the rain, in the sunshine, and really like encouraging me and giving that level of positivity, but also critique at the same time, because she's an avid netball fan. And that's remained, I guess, throughout the whole of my career, through the injuries, through the highs and through the lows. So I think she's been integral. Obviously my husband in the latter stages has been my emotional tank for a number of occasions as trying to navigate, especially this new era, especially after 2018, where the profile of sport became bigger, the expectation became bigger, having Savannah and just kind of being my champion in one sense to make sure that I could still go on to like commit and achieve that dream of actually coming back for the Commonwealth Games. But even saying that, I think I have mentors. I've got two mentors called Brian Johnston and Bob Reeves. Bob Reeves I met at University of Bristol when I was studying there, and Brian Johnston's been one of my career mentors. So again, just being able to have them alongside me to kind of bounce ideas, not only about netball, but obviously about my the legal world and how I navigate that and kind of have a good marriage between the two has been absolutely key for me. And without going on, I think England Netball, I have to mention them because their faith, their trust and their belief in me, I guess, for not only the 17 years, has been impeccable. And I think I'm really, without them and the sponsorship and just their general support and even the club teams, I was at Team Bath for a number of years, without their faith and trust in me as well, like it just wouldn't have happened. So I'm very, very thankful. I said on the call, I think it takes a village in order to get an elite athlete to where they need to be. And I am very humble enough to know that I wouldn't have succeeded in the way I have without them.
Well, big shout out to all those people. And yeah. You mentioned 2018 there. Obviously, you walked away with a gold medal, which changed history in terms of netball, doesn't it? And I just wondered whether we could get inside your mind for that particular Commonwealth Games, because I've asked other players that were part of that team how it felt to them, and it's been different for everybody. Some people, it's just a bit of a blur. Some people really remember the crowd. Like, what was going on inside your brain when you thought, oh my God, we're actually going to do this?
Do you know, it's such a blur. Like, I remember just being on the third line and being like, we practiced this shooters. You said you only needed, I think it was 15 seconds in order to score a goal, and you've got plenty. So I remember just being, my hands being covering my eyes and just literally willing that goal to go in from Helen. So I just remember hearing the crowd roar. So it is a bit of a blur. Like, I've never watched the game back in full. I've only seen the highlights of the game because I just want to keep the memory as I remember, like the feeling and the memory as it was.
That's amazing. You've never watched the whole game again. That is incredible.
No, I just want to soak it up as for what it was rather than maybe see it in a different light. But yeah, it was just, I still can't point to words just how incredible that feeling was. And to be a part of that team is something I will cherish forever.
And then in 2022, you made a big decision. You moved back to Australia to play for Queensland Firebirds. So you've been making these big choices all through your career. What do you think playing in Australia has added to your game?
For me, Australia, I think as growing up, we obviously knew them always as number one in the world. So to go over there to a fully professionalised league, I think is every athlete's dream. Again, as you say, to have netball as my actual career, that I could do full time, live the lifestyle that would help me to recover and really kind of integrate myself in a culture that is sporting mad and who that really, really celebrates netball. I think it was just an opportunity I really couldn't turn down. So I think obviously I started in, was it 2012 when I first went to West Coast Fever for the first 3 years with Norma Plummer. And I think having had that insight in terms of what the environment was like and the training ethic and, again, how good it was for my netball, playing week in, week out in front of crowds of about 6,000 to 10,000 people, I guess the standard of training and the intensity of training, I just knew how beneficial it was and can be for my game. So opportunity came up to go to the Queensland Firebirds came up, obviously, last September, which was a massive surprise, but one that we sat down and kind of talked to through as a family and just said, well, why not? After coming off to 2 years after COVID and with my ambition to get to the Commonwealth Games squad, we thought it was going to be a brilliant opportunity. And I'm so glad I kind of took a leap of faith. And sometimes you just really just have to do that. Like, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you've got to go and make the best of it and make, like, kind of write your own story. And we did just that. And I'm glad because it helped me get that selection for the Commonwealth Games, which I so desperately wanted.
It's really interesting, I think, that you always talk about the unit there, you know. And was that you, your husband and Savannah, you sort of went, right, this is it, off we go?
Yeah, I think because actually when they first called me, I said no thank you to Queensland
Firebirds.
Did you?
Yeah. You said no to the Queensland Firebirds?
No, wow. in the most, like, the kindest way, like in the most respectful way. Because I was like, I had just come off a grand final with Bath. I have a husband and a child, and we've got a mortgage. You've got responsibilities as well. I have a job. And so in terms of logistics, I just didn't know how it was going to work. And when I sat down and JK was like, you didn't even ask them what the plan might be or what the proposal was. And I was like, no, because I didn't necessarily think you were considering it. But he was like, at least just have the conversation and then you can then make a decision. So I went back and more of the jigsaw pieces started to fit together. So, yeah, in the space of 10 days, it then became a reality. And like I said, just really grateful for not only that conversation with JK, I guess him making me realise, but I guess also for my mum agreeing to kind of come over and help support me. But to be honest, it didn't really take much persuading for my mum, my retired
mum. She's like, Australia? Yeah. Okay.
It was more like, how many bags can I bring? Like, but sometimes it's you need that push from those family members who can kind of, I guess, look at it with a clear picture and clear goggles and actually give you that push when you need it.
And then you were there, you know, what was it like training against Gretel Buetta?
It was incredible. She is the best netballer in the world. Athletic capabilities, just a very sweet girl as well in terms of personality. What was really able to connect us is the fact that she was also a mum, and being with her and Kim Revillian and the team, I think to share that kind of same sense of understanding as to what we were kind of going through on and off the court. Some days you weren't sleeping very much because the little ones were either teething or had temperatures, but you still rock up to training, maybe 2-3 hours sleep. But there was that level of appreciation and understanding as to the journeys we've all been on and where we were going. So, yeah, to be able to train against her and the rest of the team with, like, Danelle Wallum, who we obviously saw in the Super League the previous year, and some of the greats, like Gabby Simpson has been an Australian great for a number of years. I found myself in really good company and I was kind of just grateful for that opportunity.
I really want to come back to you about the mum stuff, and you've mentioned some of the great names there, and I would like to talk about that a little bit more. But let's move on to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham this year. And at the end, you said on social media, it was definitely not the result we'd hoped for, but I'm extremely proud to have been a member of this team, which I thought was just a wonderful sentence and really summed up what we've seen of the Roses going into this through the camps and through the whole thing. You really have looked like a unit, and a really, really happy unit as well. What has the journey to Commonwealth Games 22 meant to you? Because it has been epic. It was one of your goals.
That's what I think I also said, I think on court, that it's the one thing that keeps bringing you back to the Roses. It's the culture. It's the people. It's the vibes. It's the want to be better than we were yesterday attitude, and that growth mindset and that growth environment. It's really a privilege, and I think I've said this a number of times, to be within that, because not everyone gets the opportunity to be part of and have that, not only have a Rose's identity, but to be able to build those friendships with the people who kind of share that mindset. Yeah, I kind of struggle to speak about it because it makes me quite emotional. Probably I won't be there again, but I think the build up to the Commonwealth Games, we were just so excited, excited for the opportunity and the challenge. It wasn't necessarily about defending the gold, because we were a new group compared to the one that came there 4 years ago, and there had been lots of transitions in that period of time. But up until up until the Commonwealth Games itself, we'd had quite a successful run. There's lots of pinch points and successes in the year leading up to Commonwealth Games, which just made us really excited to kind of take on the Commonwealth Games challenge. I wouldn't want to have been a selector, because the depth of talent that we now have in the England squad is so broad. It must have been a really difficult challenge to kind of like whittle it down to 12. But with that, it's very much about building on each other's strengths in the Roses, and that's why it just makes it so addictive in one sense to want to go back and be a part of it.
And not to forget, it was world number ones and world number twos, you know, over that last weekend, which is just huge. It's just huge. And I think the fact that we're now talking about England and Jamaica and South Africa pushing in as well, not just Australia and New Zealand, it's what the game needs. And you knew, and then we knew, because you put out your press release, that you were going to retire at the end of that particular match. You started your career with Stacey Francis-Bayman as young girls. I think she was your first ever defensive partner. You've now ended your career alongside each other. Can you describe what it was like to leave the court together after that bronze medal match through a guard of honour under the arms of the England and New Zealand players?
It was incredible. And the crowd in Birmingham were just next level. Like the support that we had for each game, but just a massive cheer as we came through that guard of honour. I think both Stacey and I were just so grateful to the Silver Ferns for joining in. But I think that's kind of really the essence of women's sport and just netball in general, the community that we've built. And it was just amazing. Like, I think in terms of being able to say goodbye with our families in the crowd to the netball community who supported us for so long, it wasn't the result we had wanted. But I think it doesn't necessarily overshadow the length of our careers and hopefully the legacy we've left behind. So all I think is proud, It was bittersweet, but in the same time, it was time. It really was time.
And that moment when Jeeva Mentor took off her goalkeeper bib, she gave the bibs to you. You came on in the dying moments of the game to a standing ovation from the home crowd. I was there. And as soon as we could feel that was happening, that whole crowd just lifted to their feet and you came on. I mean, that must have been something else.
Next level. The crowd literally erupted. And I remember just bursting into tears and getting on court. And Stacey was there, like, bawling her eyes out too. And I was like, we must defend. We've got to defend.
We've got to do our job.
Yeah, we've got 30 seconds or 24 seconds or whatever it was. And we've got to do a last play of the game. We've got to try and, like, hold ourselves together. So, yeah, incredibly special. And I'm just, yeah, very grateful for that moment and being able to kind of grace a court for that one last time.
And I do want to finish the interview by talking about Savannah, by talking about your daughter, because there were so many beautiful pictures of her at the end there on court with you. And, you know, we've seen pictures and the girls have talked about what a joy she is to have in camp as well. What's it like to play and to know that she's watching you in the crowd?
I still have a sense of disbelief sometimes because I was just like, I don't feel like the 34-year-old woman I am with a child and like with other responsibilities. So to have her in the crowd, it was incredible just because I know the journey I've been on. I remember in 2020 when I had her, and also we had COVID at the time, and it was a challenging period of time in general for the country, for everybody in the world. So I think to kind of start that journey after having Savannah, not knowing if I'd actually make it back to an England dress, and then to finally, I guess, have the opportunity to actually attend the Commonwealth Games and have her sit in the crowd, I think it was just a symbol for me. Being a mum, still having a dream of being an elite athlete, still having a career outside of netball, and actually anything's possible if you put your mind to it. And she was just my symbol of hope in one sense, because actually hope in the sense that it inspires the current Roses and other future Roses to know that it actually is possible. Women and girls in the crowd who are considering motherhood or want to become mothers and still have the ambition to achieve their dreams, whether it isn't with netball or with any other sport, hopefully it's just more an indication that a lot of hard work, a good support network, and unwavering belief in yourself and your own abilities can actually get you there. I'm not saying I got it right all the time, but I tried my best, and I was able to end up with that reward with her sitting there and cheering for me in the crowd, which is something I will hold dear to my heart for the rest of my life.
I'm just leaving a moment there because it's incredible to hear you talk about it. And also there are women in the crowd that are like that. I'm actually in that position myself. So, you know, to have that inspiration, because there's a lot of emotions around that, you know, particularly for someone who's built their entire career and it could be career ending, you know, and that is absolutely fine if that's what people choose or if that's the way that your cards are dealt. But I think even at community level, you know, when I stepped away from netball, I thought that's such a huge part of who I am. And it's my 1 hour a week where my brain clears and I can just go and play netball. And it's people like you, Ebony, that make me think this is doable, and I don't have to do it on an elite level, but I would like to do it at my level.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you've talked really beautifully there about it. You've mentioned other role models like Gretel Buetta and Joyce Mvula and Emilia Anacanasio that's had that journey as well. And we've talked this summer a lot about the Lionesses and about Serena Williams evolving away from tennis. Do you think that elite sport is in a good place for women and for mums in particular?
I think it's getting there. I think what's brilliant at the moment is that we're having this conversation, and the fact that you were able to list a number of women who are demonstrating how possible and it is to kind of balance both. But it takes a lot of sacrifice and determination with it. But I think with the reward and having that sense of self, of identity, and the social aspect, which you describe in terms of community netball, and you actually probably, I feel like myself, I'm a better woman and I'm a better mum because I've still invested in me at the same time. And that might sound selfish to some, but the time I'm able to invest, even if it's just for the hour a day or the hour a week, actually I come home happier, I'm healthier. And actually, Savannah gets the best of me. The piece that we kind of need to figure out now is how we can best support mothers moving forward, I guess, financially, to, like, similar to the men's sport, male sports, in terms of like cricket, who can take their families with them on tour, or and that well-being piece in and around that, the postpartum journey, and how women can do it safely. I think there's still much more to kind of to dig deeper in terms of, again, how can we best use it to better effect. But it's great that we're now having the conversations.
To pick up on that, as women face that, what would be your advice? Because this is a mental thing and it's a physical thing as well. You know, if you look back, what's the one piece of advice that you'd pass on to people considering maybe becoming a mum and playing sport?
I think the best piece of advice I would say would be get a pelvic floor health consultant.
Amazing. I'm doing my squeezes now.
I know, like, you don't want to be jumping and running around and just having that loose bladder problem. So I remember Team Bath got me a lady called Emma. So she's Physio Mum UK for anyone on Instagram. Give her a little plug. But she was excellent. And I think she kind of just broke it down in terms of don't rush back to the sport, but in terms of like getting my internal, I guess, composition correct to give me the best chance to get back to the court and not injure myself, or just actually feel physically fit and mentally fit and emotionally in a place where I could actually really contribute and enjoy the moment rather than necessarily just going out there and not necessarily feeling quite right. So I'd probably say, even if it's just for one session or two sessions, actually consult a pelvic floor health consultant, get yourself right from the inside, and you'll just beam from the outside.
That is a great piece of advice. Pelvic floor. Got it. Okay. and you've said your hope was to inspire girls and women to know that with determination and support and belief in your own ability, anything is possible. And you've certainly done that. I just wondered what you're most proud of in your career. Is it that, or is it your gold medal?
The most proud of, I would probably say the friendships I've made. The gold medal was absolutely fantastic. But I also, it's the journeys that I've been on each campaign, whether we came third, but it's been, what, 7 major tournaments in terms of World Cups and the Commonwealth Games, and being able to have travelled the world to some like fantastic like destinations like Singapore for the World Cup, Delhi for the Commonwealth Games, Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean. And it's the journey that has really been the highlight, because, and the journey and the people. Because there are memories that I will tell my children about, my grandchildren about, and the funny moments, but also the lows, and how we just banded together and picked each other up. And it's the way people make you feel that it's long lasting, never mind the results at the end of the day. And I think that has been the highlight, because it's been such a pleasure to be part of the squads and a part of something that's much bigger than myself for such a long time.
It's been an absolute pleasure watching you. It really has. And the last thing I just have to add in here is that you're a solicitor as well. I do not know when you sleep. I don't know when you take a break. I don't know how it's possible. But the huge question is, you know, the really big question is, do you do your own legal work on your contract? Do you get right in there and you're like, no, I don't like that. We're changing that.
I can't lie. Sometimes.
Amazing.
On my own personal stuff. But I do leave it to quite a lot to my agent. But on the odd occasion, depending on what it is.
I'm very pleased to hear that. It's a little voice in the background there. Is that Savannah?
That's Savannah. She's just bust through the door.
That's superb. We've been talking about you. Great to hear here. Final word then. What's next for you?
Next, it will be Savannah starts school. So I'm going to be putting my mum hat on and I guess enjoying in that milestone. I go back to my legal job this is the beginning of September, and there are some really cool opportunities in the pipeline, which I can't really divulge yet.
Not even a little tiny thing for Portside, the England Netball podcast?
Not even a tiny thing at this point in time. But I will be around netball in some capacity, as well as, some other things that are coming up, which is exciting.
And what about the fans? What would you like to say to the fans? You have mentioned them through the pod, but just a last little nod.
Just a huge, huge thank you. I think the fans, I think I said on the court, are just like no other in the world. They're so passionate. They're so supportive. They celebrate you in a way that just makes you want to keep going. And in terms of what the support I received through Instagram when I was doing Journey Back to the Court, especially in these last 2 years, I am so grateful hearing the stories of other women who are just saying they saw me. And again, similar to what you said in terms of hopefully it's inspired their own journeys. It helped me along the way. It really pushed me to keep going, to, I guess, follow my dreams, understand my whys and know where I was going. So just thank you very much. I am honoured to have been able to represent you and our country in the way that I have. And I'm just really grateful for all of your support.
Well, we would like to say a huge thank you back for the moments that you've given us and the joy that you have brought to the netball court. It's been such a wonder to watch you. You thought it was all over, but it's not, Ebony Azura Brown, because we are now going to play 3 seconds or less on the podcast. You've been so open and honest and frank that you'll be fine with this. You've got 3 seconds or less to answer these quick fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this. What is your signature dish?
Spaghetti bolognese.
Nice. Song for the shower?
Katy Perry, Firework.
What is the best netball position?
Goalkeeper.
Oh, I thought you might go on the fence. There you go, you see. The truth will out. What is the worst netball rule?
Obstruction.
What's the hardest netball decision you've had to make?
Stepping away from the game.
Oh, who is your nemesis player? You can tell us now.
Who's my Janelle Fowler-Reed?
Oh, superb. What's your worst habit?
3 seconds or less.
Worst habit?
Overthinking, maybe.
There we go. That's hilarious, having taken 20 seconds to think about it. She's an overthinker. What will you miss most about elite netball?
My friends and the Roses, the team.
What will you miss least about elite netball?
Ice baths.
Nice. And finally, the biggie. Is it scone or scone?
Scone.
Yes, it is. There you go. We will be lifelong friends. Yay. Lovely, lovely stuff. Thank you. You've completed 3 seconds or less and you've completed a stunning elite netball career. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for coming on Courtside.
No, thank you for your time.
Well, the Walking Netball session is just about drawing to a close here at Sandbach, and so is this episode of Courtside. It has been such a pleasure taking you to the Commonwealth Games, going behind the scenes with the England team as well. But the future is bright. The future is red as the Roses prepare for those matchups against Uganda and Australia. Then 2023, well, it's a World Cup year. We'll keep you up to date with the action. You will not miss a moment. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, Courtside.